Well, as you say, it was a nice program.
I'm glad to be here dramatized serial before the house of Acha. Tonight's episode is entitled Acha, Acha, All Falls Out.
And at 10:30 on BBC 3, the Israeli Little Theatre Group are presenting their dance and mime company, the Yiddish Mamas.
Meanwhile, for those of you more easily pleased, here's 30 minutes of star-studded rubbish. A silly form takes you round the hall. Story so far. Husky, strapping Betty Marsden is madly in love with sweet, ethereal Kenneth Williams. He is the bedroom eyes and bathroom mind. Together they stroll through the thick, tangled undergrowth, played by thick, tangled Hugh Paddock. In his ineffable manner, as opposed to his usual manner, which is extremely effable. Pausing by the trunk of a petrified oak, played by petrified Bill Pertwee, he took her in his arms, his firm, young cap pressed against the Madras cotton of his trousers. Her mouth became a scarlet wound of anguish as she gasped out the word,
"Good evening, my name's Kenneth Hall."
Hello and welcome to Round the Horn. Well, that was Douglas Smith, who appears by permission of the Footscray branch of the Edgar Luscarton Fan Club and Burial Society. Now, it's nice to have the chance to
see it.
Oh, quiet, William. Quiet. Today is the 300th anniversary of the death of the man who became known as the father of the Christmas pudding. His name was Richard Serendipity Mountbasket, known to his friends in the pudding clique as Spotted Dick. He had experimented with pudding for years and had already given the world rice pudding, cabinet pudding, peas pudding, and incidentally the ballpoint pen that would write under porridge. Which is very popular in Scotland, but that's another story. His first Christmas pudding was commissioned by the workhouse master and was a lewd affair. No one knows what became of it. With, of course, the possible exception of the workhouse master and one or two inmates. His end was tragic. One day, while experimenting with different Christmas pudding mixes and having mixed the batter and put in sultanas and raisins, he quite accidentally added an electric current. Then he picked up his electric razor, switched it on, and... and the explosion was tremendous. And so it is that his tombstone bears the epitaph, Richard Serendipity Mountbasket, born in Somerset, died in Somerset, Gloucestershire, and Devon. And if you think they didn't have electric razors 300 years ago, well, mind your own business. Now, another feature, the backroom boys of the BBC.
They've been in there 5 weeks now.
Oh, there they are. This week, the personnel department, where a highly skilled panel screens possible employees to make sure that the right man gets the right job.
Well, I think we should have given that last chap the job. He had the right background.
I don't agree. Well, we don't want that type of person in the BBC. I mean, look what he said.
Well, he said he was a fellow of all souls.
Oh, that was what? Yeah, I thought he said he played a fellow at Walsall.
Shall we have the next one in?
Yes, and remember, it is our duty to make sure that we only employ the best type of person with the right type of background, even though it is only for a menial position.
Come in, Mr.
Grandfather. He's my old grandfather. It's not ours tonight, is it? Yeah, please, my old grandfather. Esquire. Not titled or anything, you see.
That's all right. We're very democratic here. Now, why did you apply for this job?
Well, I sent me up here from the labor. Either this or a window dresser in the horse meat shop. I got turned down for that, so I've come here.
I see. Well, you couldn't have made a better choice.
Thank you. Very nice.
Of course. Nothing of it. Now, there are a few questions that we must ask you.
Oh, yes.
Why do you want to work for the BBC?
I want to get my hands on Judith Chalmers.
What we meant was, if we gave you a job in the BBC, what would you actually like to do?
I'd like to get her in a broom cupboard. I have the voices, you see, and they tell me what to do. Go forth, the voices sing. Go up the BBC and get your hands on Judith.
Now, where do you feel your special aptitude lies? What sort of post did you have in mind?
Well, I'd like the job of Director General of Broadcast.
Well, I'm terribly sorry, old chap, but the Shoe Queen's already got it.
Just like up the old meat shop. Oh, well, if the job as Director General is gone, I wouldn't mind going for to be director of the spoken word, or head of talks, or stoking the boilers. Something where there's luncheon vouchers involved. Yeah, easy to
What sort of salary did you have in mind?
About $5,000 a year, if I was director of the spoken word, but I'd take £2.10 a week if it's the boilers. All the same to me, it's the voices, you see.
Yes.
Voices, what the hell?
Yes. You're very reasonable attitude. Oh. Now, Mr. Grunt
Tucker. Grunt
Tucker. Yes.
Mr. Grunt Tucker.
Right? Yes, sir. Yes, I think I've got it now. If you wouldn't mind leaving us for a moment, I must consult with my colleague.
Yeah, well, I'll hang about in the waiting room, then drawing on the wall till you're
You will, Lady Brie?
Poor devil, I really do feel sorry for people like that. He's completely unstable, illiterate, aggressive, and utterly stupid.
Yes, I am here. You should be put out of the way. In a place where he can do no harm to anybody.
Then you think...
Yes, it's the best thing for him, poor simpleton. Let's call him in. Come in, Mr. Grunt.
Grunt,
yes. Sorry to have kept you waiting.
No, Grunt.
We've come to a decision. We can't offer you the job of stoking the boilers because, frankly, you're not up to it. But there is one job we can offer you which seems in keeping with your personality, qualifications, and temperament.
Oh, the head of Channel 2?
Yeah, not quite as bad as that. You're going to be the new compere of Not So Much a Program.
That all the characters portrayed in that sketch were, of course, living or dead or Kenneth Williams. And now, episode 5 of the Chrysalis Saga. Once again today, we salute that grand old boiler, Beatrice Chrysalis. An actress who delighted so many people a few years ago in the little huts on Shaftesbury Avenue. But who achieved her greatest fame in Hollywood, where she was applauded for her Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, praised for her Fanny by Gaslight, and acclaimed by everyone who remembers her splendor in the grass. week, I went back once again to visit Lady Counterblast, as she now is, at our isolated country home at Chattering Farm.
Lads, and I claim the £5.
Now it's just a trick of the light. I'm Kenneth Horne.
Ah, you may jest, but you haven't seen what I've seen. This town is the arrow for the headless abbot of Chattering Harbour to manifest itself. Ah, I've seen you soon. He comes a galloping by, holding his cassock above his knees. He be a looking for his aid. Here he comes now. Oh, evening, George.
Evening, Mr. Tarzan.
Can't see where he's going. That's the worst of having no age. Now, I suppose you'll be wanting to see the mistress.
Yes, yes, yes.
Follow me. Here's the young master.
Young master.
Mr. Horne.
The headless abbot is back, ma'am. Shall I make up a bed in the spare room?
No. The mad nun's in there. And you may leave,
and we be all doomed. Doomed, we be doomed.
Well, Lady Counterblast, in the past few weeks, you've told us about your early years on the stage, but I believe you made your biggest impact in films. Now, you started in silent pictures, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I often appeared in Fatty Arbuckle's short. They were the biggest draws in Hollywood. Perhaps you'd like to see some excerpts from my film.
No,
I have a projector set up here. I'll just switch it on. Now, this is one of the first talkies I made at Elf Street Studios. I co-starred with Hamilton Grosvenor.
Oh, yes, I remember the film. It was called Brief Interview.
Oh. It's starting.
Put your bags on the rack.
Thank you, darling.
Well, this is it. Goodbye.
Yes, darling. The train leaves in 5 minutes. Darling. Oh, I hate railway stations.
I suppose in the mother's last few sad streets, another bit poignant moment. Suppose you'll be paying back your husband and the children in Hadley Wood.
My place is with Roger. He needs me.
I need you too. Oh, God, I need you.
John! 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 It makes it so much more difficult.
I can't help myself, darling. Must you go?
Yes, but I shall always remember this brief meeting, these stolen moments of bittersweet madness. The train will be moving soon. Goodbye.
One last kiss. Try not to forget me.
No, I won't. Oh, and here's sixpence for your trouble, Porter.
Thank you, madam.
They were wonderful films we made, Hester. Yeah? But then I got an offer to go back to Hollywood. Darryl S. Poltergeist. Jacob, he'd make a star of me if I would just come across.
And did you?
Many times. Many times. In those days, the fashion, which was films based on the lives of the great. Here is a scene from the one I enjoyed most, where I played Mrs. Giuliano Marconi, wife of the famous inventor. Giuliano! I've got to go on.
Camilla Carissima.
All of the time, are you working on that invention? You got no time for me and the bambinos no more.
What the bambinos?
Giuseppe, Luigi, Roberta, Enrico, Maria, Marcello, Dina, Rudolfo, Claudio, Leonardo, Benio, Mino, Filippo. Wait a minute, Anthony. Sofia, Benito, and Seamus.
Seamus? I don't remember no Seamus.
Seamus. You know, the little one with the red hair and the freckles and the Irish accent and the... Hey, you know you're quite right. Must have belonged to Mrs. O'Reilly up the road. What's wrong with you, Giuliano? All the time, work.
My invention. I have only just finished it. It's a magnifico idea. It's going to make the name of Marconi remembered always. Look at Carissima here under the bench.
What? This a little bar? With the wires and the valves inside it?
Look, it works like this. You turn this little knob so.
This week, I have a girl come to you from the sewage farm at Kittleston.
Invention. What are you going to call it?
Spaghetti a bolognese.
Hollywood, what a wonderful experience. That's where I got my Oscar, you know. I'm afraid that's all I have left of my long career. A great comfort and a great source of pleasure to me in my old age.
I didn't realize you had company, B.T. I'll come back later when you're alone. Who's that muscular young man in the leather skin bathing trunk?
That's my Oscar.
And that concludes the Fifth Old Saga, a story to warm your heart. Now something to turn your stomach over. Fraser Hayes called to sing a tax from their new LP, Itty Born at Oberammergau.
Day in, day out. I need to tell you how
Good as ever. Now, send. This is a section of the show devoted to the pace setters, the trendy, witted crowd, those who get up and go. And if you've got that get up and go feeling, well, I should do it now before we start. First fashion.
Hair is being worn so the length this season.
Not by me, it isn't.
Mary Quant has done it again. She's done something incredible in olive skin.
Well, I think that's her own affair. Medicine. Now, what are the new trends in medicine? The question they're all asking in Harley Street is, how can one avoid catching Chumpshaw's disease? Well, the answer is quite simple. Keep well clear of Chumpshaw. But what are the trendy people suffering from? Well, with me in the studio tonight is Dr. Mendelssohn Privet, doctor to the stars of show business.
Good evening. That will be 5 guineas.
Tell me, doctor, you number among your patients many celebrities.
Oh, yes. I was consultant on Ringo's tonsils. I treated Bernard Levin for his inferiority complex. And I once treated Janet Scott for frostbite.
And I believe you recently operated on all of the Rolling Stones.
Yes, to remove moss. And then, of course, I treated animal celebrities.
Oh.
Pink and Perky. It was a nasty case of spine fever, that was. I called it only last week when Ollie Beak got the moth. But I suppose I'm best known in this field because I'm actually the man who attended to Bill and Ben when they were pot-bound. But I also deal with the man, young Helen Shapiro. I treated him. And then I had this patient, he, terrible mix-up he was. He thought he was Kenneth Williams. There was nothing I could do for the poor wretch. It turned out he was.
Well, it's been a privilege having you here, Dr. Privet. Now, since we've been doing these trend spots, I've become more appearance conscious. So I popped into one of those gents' boutiques in Chelsea to get myself some with it accoutrement. This shop had one of those very masculine names. Oh, I can't. Oh, a Butch, I think it was called.
Coming, Doctor.
Oh, hello. I'm Sandy, and this is my friend, Julian.
Aren't you those two actors from Rent-A-Chap Male Domestics?
Yes, we're resting. Stuck in between jobs. Normally we do commercials. I mean, you may have seen me in that one where me and this girl scamper through the snow, then we drink hot chocolate, and then whatever her pleasure is, I complete it.
Takes his part lovely.
And often.
Yes. What can we actually
show you? Well, I thought it was about time I sort of got with it sartorially.
Yes. Well, let's see what we've got.
How about a pair of tight jeans? Got a card for it, hasn't he, Sam?
Yes, you definitely got the card. What about the ankle? Yes.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Well, if you've got thick ankles, you never get them on. There's some nice lime green. There's some nice lime green wrapper hipsters, though.
See yourself in hipsters?
Well, no, I'm more of a pointer sort of thing. Now, what I had in mind was a suit. Something fairly conservative, something I can wear when I go to my club.
How about this Lurex air sucker with a polka dot motif?
I shouldn't wear that at my club.
What we wear when we go to our club?
What club's that?
The Marine Commando Club in Paddington.
But it's hardly the same as the afternoon.
Oh, holy.
Come on, Judy, turn the swatch.
Yes. Have a quick drive through these. See, you have your bows, hearts, and your herringbones, your hind soup, your seersucker. Then there's your addis tweed. Turn your addis, Julian. You've got a very bold Alice. I have. It's purple with a sort of gold fleck.
Yes. Very unusual. I rather like that.
Well, let's have the measurement. I'll call them out, Judy, and you write them down. All right?
Yes.
Now, chair 42.
Yes.
Bandage 42. Weight 42. Hip 42. Well, you are consistent. Yes. See, the shift's gone out of fashion.
Now, what do you think, Judy, to go with it? I suggest these bell-bottom white leather trousers. And then the fluorescent shirt with a tab collar.
Oh, tab.
Now, don't do the nails going a bit too far.
No! Now, Dad, you'd just like to slip in the changing room, put the stuff on, we'll wrap up your old suit.
Oh, thank you.
And put it in the incinerator.
So, anyway, 10 minutes later, I walked out of that shop looking like a different person. Still a black. My case comes up next Tuesday. But I shall plead the headaches again. Well, that's nearly the end of the show. All that remains for me now is to give you the results of last week's limerick competition. The winning entry came from Mr. Griffiths of Little Cherrington, Warwickshire, and goes as follows. A young market gardener from Bude developed a cactus quite lewd. He said when it trembles, it rather resembles Sophia Loren in the news. Anyhow, this week's opening two lines are, two men in a factory near Cork were eating their soup with a fork. Now, all you have to do is to complete the next three lines of the list. And send your entries, please, not to me personally, but to Round the Horn, care of the BBC London W1. And to the sender of the best complete limerick goes this week's prize, a do-it-yourself taxidermist kit comprising a live gorilla, a loaded gun, and 300 weight of K-pop. Well, that's all for now, so cheerio. See you next week. Starring Kenneth Horne, with Kenneth Williams, Hugh Paddick, Betty Marston, and Bill Pertwee. On the musical side, you heard the Fraser Hayes Four and the Hornblowers, conducted by Edwin Braden, who also composed the incidental music. The script was written by Barry Took and Marty Feldman, and the recorded program was produced by John Simmons.